listen to God's word from Brother Ian Robson.
I want to share with you this morning five exhortations that Paul gives to the church in Corinth. And we will do well to take heed to these five exhortations which come throughout Scripture, particularly in the New Testament, and particularly for the times that we live in, that if we take heed to what the Holy Spirit calls us to and the warnings that He gives us here, we will preserve ourselves. Otherwise, we can be led astray and we can fall away. And those exhortations are there in 1 Corinthians in chapter 16. At the end of Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, there are many things that he says, many problems in that church. There's not one wise man. They were carnal, they were babies. They took people to court. There was immorality. Like Paul says, such as was not even named among the Gentiles. And all that there. And the burden that he carried for this church, he still had great hope for this church. You read that there in the very first chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But then he says here, right at the end, in verse 13, 1 Corinthians 16, 13, and 14. There are five things there that we could take heed to ourselves. He says, first of all, be on the alert. Be on the alert. Keep your eyes open for spiritual danger, says in the Living Bible. And that comes throughout Scripture. And Jesus used those words. He warned His disciples. As we see that most of it is the warnings that Jesus gave. Be on the alert. And the second thing, stand firm in the faith. And the third thing, act like men. It's particularly to brothers. The fourth thing, be strong. And the fifth is, let all you do be done in love. Five powerful exhortations that if you and I take heed to, my brothers and sisters, we really grow in a growth that comes from God. And like I said, it says in the Living Bible, it says, keep your eyes open for spiritual danger, stand true to the Lord, act like men, be strong, and whatever you do, do it with kindness and love. And so looking at the very first thing that Paul says here, be on the alert. You know, nations are high on alert because of the danger of being attacked by their enemies. India sometimes had to be on high alert, and whenever our country has failed, and those who guard us fail, and they slack off in being prepared, you know what has happened. 1967, you know what has happened even as far as recently. When there's unpreparedness, Israel is on high alert because of the enemies that surround this nation. The whole world is on high alert against, you know, anything that can happen in these days. And so how much more the Church of God, how much more the Church of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul says here, be on the alert. And we see that running right through Scripture. And like I said, Jesus warned many times, particularly speaking of the last times. Right through Scripture, right through to Revelation, where it says in Revelation chapter 16, verse 15, behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes, so that he will not walk about naked and men will not see his shame. So all through Scripture, to be on high alert. to keep our eyes open for spiritual danger. We can never slack off. And just because everything goes well and we live in times of peace, it's so easy to let our hands drop. It's so easy to be off guard. And Jesus said in the very first time that this comes in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44. You can turn to it, Matthew chapter 24. And speaking of in the last days, the time before he comes. And I want you to see this in the background of what Jesus said here. This is the first time that we read that warning to be on the alert in verse 44. For this reason, he says, you also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. The last days of Jesus, I hope you understand, were spent in Jerusalem. He entered Jerusalem not on a horse, not as a great leader, but on a donkey, on the colt of a donkey. And the last days were spent in Jerusalem, most of it in the temple, teaching from morning till evening. And they would go out of the city and lodge sometimes in Bethany with perhaps Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Many times that Jesus visited that home, and it was this Mary who anointed him, anointed his head. And most times would go out to the Mount of Olives. So when his disciples came to him with this question, after pointing out, you know, Matthew 24 in the very beginning, they pointed out all the buildings then, verse 1, you know, Jesus was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. How beautiful it was, and the stones that were beautiful. And Jesus said, you know, not one stone will be left upon another. Days are coming. And it is against this background and things that took place before that, when he rode into Jerusalem and then he took a whip and he cleansed the temple, he drove out the money changers and those who bought and sold. Said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You made it a den of robbers. And those crucial last days, you read this against the background, these warnings that Jesus gave here. And many things that happened when he vehemently rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees for their hypocrisy. Matthew chapter 23, the whole chapter is dedicated to that and what Jesus said. And what Jesus said to his disciples and the multitudes, he says, do all that the scribes and Pharisees teach you to do, but do not do like them. Because they say things, but do not do them. And many words that he pronounced there in Matthew 23, he denounced the scribes and the Pharisees vehemently. He says, woe unto you. And leaving the temple against that, you can see how it weighed heavily on his heart. The condition of God's people in his day. The condition of religious leaders. And then his disciples come to him with this question in verse 3. When will this happen? You know, when will this happen? When, he says there in verse 3, you're sitting on the Mount of Olives. Disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? And the very first thing that Jesus said, see to it that no one misleads you. See to it that no one misleads you. And many things that he says there, the things that would precede his coming. And then he says these words, he says, for this reason, you know, before that in verse 42, therefore be on the alert. You do not know which day our Lord is coming. You know, people think, and we can sit and think, and because we understand scripture, understand, yeah, there are a lot of things that have to happen. There's still time for Jesus to come. You know, that attitude, and there's still time for Jesus to come. A lot of things have to take place. The Antichrist has come, and there has to be a great falling away. And we don't see that that can happen in a moment. That's happening before our very eyes. And we can lack that preparedness. We can be unprepared. And that's why Jesus said these words, be on the alert. Therefore, be on the alert. You do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert. He would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, he says it again, you must be ready, you must be alert. Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. And many things that he says there, and it's not going to be, everybody's going to be taken up, one will be taken, another will be left. He said those words in this context. Two men will be working in the field, one will be taken, the other will be left. Two people sleeping in the bed, husband and wife, one was taken and the other left. And he said, therefore, be on the alert, be on guard for spiritual danger. I must not think that I've been in the church, I understand many things, and we can take things for granted, my brothers and sisters. I'm afraid that is the condition of many of us. We lack that preparedness. We think there's still time. That's what they said. Peter said, where's the promise of his coming? Everything stands, is just as it was. And they don't, Peter said, they don't see that one day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So I want you to see that it's very crucial that we take to heart the words of Jesus that he speaks many times. And to be on the alert, for that day will come when we least expect it. To be on the alert to meet the Lord even today, to meet him tonight, that if he should call us. How many of us live like that? We have heard often in this church to have a dress rehearsal of that day of judgment, that day when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. How many of us have taken it seriously? And we live carelessly. And go to bed at night with resentment and grudges and bitterness, and we think, yeah, there's still time. And we don't realize, like Jesus said here, that it will be sudden. There can be a sudden call. Am I ready to meet him? Am I ready to stand before him? I have given an answer. Whatever I may have done in the church, however I may have served, and whatever sacrifice I made, does not matter. It's how I end my last days and my last hours that matters. That's why we have to take to heed, my brothers, and we do not know the day. And it's not just speaking of the day when Jesus comes, if we have the grace and mercy to live to see that day, but to live that today I can be called home. Be on guard. Be on the alert. And Mark chapter 13, verses 33 and 35 to 7, it says, take heed, keep on the alert. You do not know when the appointed time will come. And verse 35, it says, therefore be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning. In case he should come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, be on the alert. We see that Jesus emphasized that so much, my brothers and sisters, right till the end of his life. He said to his disciples when they went to sleep, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. To be alert, to be watchful, that's a military word. To be on the alert, that those soldiers guarding our frontiers, they have to be on the alert. And because they were not on the alert, you know what happened recently. People lost their lives, their heads got chopped off. To be on high alert, and if nations can be on high alert because of physical attacks, how much more we who are part of the Church of Jesus Christ? How much more we who are members of his body, to be on high alert, red alert, they say. All the time, 24/7, my brothers and sisters. We cannot afford to slack off. Keep our eyes open for spiritual danger. We know that when we have lacked that preparedness, we have been tripped up. Thankfully, God is merciful. There's forgiveness with him that it says that he may be feared. We can get up again and repent and be forgiven and press on. We should never lie there. To take that to heart, I cannot overemphasize it. It's something that's come to my own heart. We, as the Church of God, we have to be on high alert. And the other thing that we see in being alert in Luke chapter 12, be alert because we don't know the day when Jesus comes, we don't know the day when we are called home, and to be alert against every form of greed. You see that in Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. You know those words in, somebody, Jesus was speaking some serious things there. Don't have time to look at it. From in the beginning of, in chapter 12. And, when there was hostility under these circumstances, you read that, we don't have time. When we read scripture, good to read it in its background. We get the spirit of what the Holy Spirit is saying to us and what really happened and what Jesus said. Under these circumstances, the hostility that he faced and all these things there. And then he says then, someone in the crowd in verse 13 said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." And he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?" Then he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard." Here's the word again, to be alert against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. To be on the alert against every form of greed. We were looking at being content, and we saw that this discontent destroys God's people. We saw that with what happened to the children of Israel in the wilderness. Discontent destroys us. And so to be on the alert, my brothers, against every form of greed. Because even when we have an abundance, it says, our life does not consist of possessions. Whether I have a house or don't have one, whether I have a bank account or don't have one, whatever it is, if I have food and I have clothing, Jesus said, with these we should be content. So I have to be alert against every form of greed. And like I said, there is no harm to get a better job, to earn more money, to provide for my family, or whatever it is that I need. There's no sin in that. God has not called us to an ascetic life. He gives us richly, he says, everything to enjoy. But in what God gives us, and when he adds these things after us, which we don't seek after, that's when I need to be on high alert. Paul says, I've known how to live in whatever circumstance, whether I have less or whether I have more. I've learned the secret. To learn the secret, particularly when we have an abundance, my brothers and sisters, that I'm on alert against every form of greed. And I can never say that, no, I am not greedy. I don't love money. It's there deep within us, my brothers and sisters. If I'm not alert, the enemy is within us, in your flesh and mine. And if I'm not alert, I will be tripped up. And the other thing I want you to see in Luke chapter 21 and verse 34, it goes along with what we see in Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. Jesus said there, be on guard or be on the alert, so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. And that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap. The worries of life. Jesus said, be on the alert against worry and anxiety. Do we take that seriously? That the command, that the what we read in scripture, the Holy Spirit, do not be anxious, is not a suggestion. It's a command. Do I really take it to heart? When Jesus said, do not worry, do not anxious, you are more value than many sparrows. The grass that is clothed today and is cast into the fire tomorrow, God cares for you. And when we are warned to be on the alert against worry and anxiety, do I take it seriously? And I think, no, it's okay, I'm a worrywart. I know I am a worrywart. But I've sought to cleanse myself from worry and anxiety. Many, many situations. And Jesus says, be on guard, be on the alert, so that your hearts are not weighted down. It may not be dissipation and drunkenness. I don't think any one of us would be guilty of that. But worry, the worries of life, the worries of life. We think about, how will I educate my children? How can I get them a good partner? How can I get a better house? No harm if you can get a better house. No harm to get a better job. But if I worry, I'm anxious about it, I am in danger. And Jesus said, do not be on the alert against worry and anxiety. And the other thing in this regard of being on the alert is there, the fourth thing, in 1 Peter chapter 5, 8 to 9. I want you to see that it all hinges on this, on worry and anxiety, and that I can be taken off guard. I can be unprepared. And here Peter says, be of sober spirit, 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be on the alert. There's the word again. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And you know, I can read a word like that. We have heard, and Brother Zach has often reminded us to read scripture carefully, slowly, and read it in its context. Don't just take a verse like this, you know, that we have it on a plaque also in our homes, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. He cares for you. You see the back of cars, he cares for you. Jesus loves you. But you know what the Holy Spirit is saying there? If you look at 1 Peter chapter 5, it's many things there. We're not going to look at all of it. But I want you to see one thing there. He says, you younger men, verse 5, likewise be subject to your elders. And all of you, young men, older men, elders, clothe yourself with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. And I want you to see there's a comma there, not a full stop. Casting all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. And then we read that warning. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And at the end of this letter that Peter writes, he says, through Silvanus, our faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. We heard that last week from Brother Newton. Having done everything to stand firm, to put on the whole armor of God. And I have to be on the alert, you know, that I can not humble myself. Don't go to verse 7. The Holy Spirit speaks to younger men, and all of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. The mighty hand of God, my brothers and sisters, in those little things that happen in your life and mine every day. Not some great thing, you know, some great trial. The little things in what we have to do with one another. And when I refuse to humble myself, I am prey for the devil. And we are warned there. It says, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He will not spare, whoever it is. Younger men, older men, if I'm an elder, whatever it is, he will not spare if I don't humble myself. And in humbling myself, to cast all my anxiety upon him. And I think if I humble myself, I'll be taken advantage of. I'll be exploited. Cast all my anxiety upon him because he cares for you. I have seen this many times. God will not allow someone to take advantage of me. God will not allow me to be a doormat. I humble myself and God will take care of the rest. Cast all your anxiety upon Him. That's in context of humbling ourselves, my brothers and sisters. We cannot resist the devil. Listen to this. We cannot resist the devil if I don't submit to God in that situation. 24/7. I can say it with all my heart and shout at him. He'll sit back and laugh. He'll take a laugh. You know, I'm going to devour you. That's what happens. We get devoured. And thank God, like I said, He's merciful. We can be rescued from the mouth of the lion. And we can be put on our feet again. The God of all grace will Himself do this for us. But I have to take heed, my brothers and sisters. I really believe. It's not, you know, proving that I'm in under authority of the leadership of the church, that I submit to the elders. It's in my relationship with those I live with 24/7. We can have a great testimony as a humble brother and a humble sister. It's all humbug if I don't learn in my relationship with those I live with 24/7, if I don't learn to humble myself. The devil has got me in his mouth. Not just on his back. I need to be delivered from the mouth of the lion. Now may we take that to heart. We cannot resist him. If I submit to God, if I humble myself, one whisper and he's gone. I was reading what I think it is the word for this week. That he goes at the speed of light, lightning. If I submit to God and humble myself, I only have to whisper, get out. And he goes at the speed of light. Satan will fall, like Jesus saw him fall, like lightning. But if I don't submit to God, and I don't humble myself under God's mighty hand, I can say with all my heart, I can scream at him, and he'll just laugh. Let's humble ourselves, my brothers and sisters. I believe there's a great need among all of us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and you know it, in our own situations, 24/7. Submit to God. Cast my anxiety upon Him, because He cares for me, and I can resist the devil, and he will run from me. May God really help us to take that to heart, to be on the alert, to be on guard against our adversary, the devil, who prowls about like a roaring lion. And what do I do? Just take the words the Holy Spirit says to me. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Shut your mouth. Don't justify yourself. Cast my anxiety upon Him. He'll take care of the outcome, the consequences. Because He cares for us. My brothers and sisters, He doesn't want me to be devoured. He has come to rescue us. We sang in that song, the Lamb has come to rescue us out of the mouth of the lion. Praise God. Peter says in the Message Bible reading, I like to read that, it says, keep a cool head. I like it. 1 Peter 5:8. Keep a cool head. The same passage we just read. Stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Keep your guard up. You're not the only ones plunged into these hard times. It's the same with Christians all over the world. So keep a firm grip on the faith. This suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before the generous God, who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together and on your feet for good. He gets the last word, yes, He does. Praise God. That's what He seeks to do. And so, going back to what Paul says, read through Scripture, my brothers and sisters, be on the alert. be on the alert against greed, be on the alert against worry and anxiety, be on the alert against our adversary, that he doesn't find me not humbling myself. The devil has no power over you and me if I decide that whatever happens, what anyone says, what anyone does, I will humble myself. And so I can never become prey for him. Praise God. The second thing that we see there, that Paul says, stand firm in the faith. This also we see through scripture. Stand firm in the faith. The second exhortation that Paul gives here, which we read that Peter also gives, this is the true grace of God, stand firm in it. And what we heard last week about taking up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. That's our calling. To stand firm, it says, having our girded your loins with truth and put on the breastplate of righteousness. No lie in my mouth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, not my own righteousness, but the righteousness of God, and I will be left standing. And even if we fall down, we have to rise up. Rise up and stand. I should never be down. Whatever happens, I must never be down on the ground. I must be, because only when you're standing can you be alert. A man who's lying down will go to sleep. And in the event that you fail and fall, and you don't pick yourself up again, it says then, Micah chapter 6, I think it is, or 7, rejoice not over me, my enemy, even though I fall 7 times, I'll rise up again. Rise up, my brothers and sisters. You have no business to be lying down there. Don't let the devil take you on a guilt trip. Say to him, rejoice not over me, O my enemy, even though I've fallen 7 times, 700 times, 7,000 times, I will rise up again. It's the Lord who makes me stand, and stand he will. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that we don't judge the servant of another. God is able to make him stand. I don't pass judgment upon somebody that I see who has fallen and failed. And whether it's my own wife or your husband or your children, I don't take the devil's side to condemn. Neither will I condemn you, Jesus said. Go and sin no more. I don't take the side of the accuser of the brethren. Oh, see, this is the one. You know, he testifies in the church. He does this, he does that. You have taken the side of the accuser of the brethren. You're not on God's side. Our calling is to stand firm, no matter how many times we fall, we to rise up again. Not give the devil an opportunity. And repent and confess our sin. And confess to God, and if it's against somebody, to confess to that person, whoever it may be, even if it's our own child, even somebody younger than me, to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Oh, my brothers and sisters, there's such a great need. Stand firm, Paul says. It's not just giving an empty exhortation. Look at it through scripture. We are to stand. And that's our calling. This is the true grace of God. Even though I go through a time of suffering, don't take yourself on a guilt trip. Don't let the devil take you on a merry-go-round. Get off it. And say, rejoice not over me, O my enemy. Jesus has paid the price. I'll repent, I'll confess my sin, and I'll press on. You have no power over me. Even though I fall 7 times or 7,000 times, I'll rise up again. This is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. And in Romans chapter 5 verse 2 tells us that it's through Jesus we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. No sitting here. We stand. That's what Paul says to this church in Corinth. Even though there were a lot of problems, stand firm. And that's what the Holy Spirit says to us, my brothers and sisters. Whatever has happened, get up and stand. And you'll never be a target for the devil. He cannot get you down. Because your hope and faith is in Jesus, who has justified you. Romans chapter 5. It says in Galatians 5, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Keep standing firm. So I want you to see throughout Scripture these exhortations that Paul gives here. You know, goes right through Scripture. Stand, that we stand. We endure to the end if we stand. And the third thing that he says there, and this is particularly to brothers, act like men. That's a word that's come to me many times. Act like men. If you're a man, act like one. Be a man. The King James says, quit you like men. We are not to be effeminate. We have heard that. Brother Zach said that. If you are effeminate, you need to veil your head. Brothers. And sit in the meetings. Be the head of your home. Act like a man. And when it comes to taking a stand for Christ, that you be a disciple. Become a disciple, and I tell you, brothers, you'll be a man. I can testify to that. And you can stand up to overbearing parents, and parents who want to run your life. If you're a disciple, you'll be a man. I know that's what made me a man. I was able to take a stand for the Lord and for His church, even against my own parents. Many, many other situations. That's the first condition of discipleship. Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, I'd like you to look at it, particularly as brothers, on all of us, 26 and 27. If anyone comes to me, listen to it, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That's for all men and women, but particularly for us men. You want to be a man, you want to act like a man, be a disciple. Simple. Be a disciple. Decide that I am going to be a disciple no matter what. No matter what. My mother can't influence me, my father can't influence me when it comes to obeying God and keeping the commandments of God. My brothers and sisters and however close a family I belong to, I am a disciple. I decided that long ago. I am a happy man. I love them, I'm good to all my family members, but I am a disciple, and they know that. They may have tried in the beginning to influence me different ways, but I decided to be a disciple. And it's gone tremendously well with me, and God has blessed my family. And I want to say to you, dear brothers and sisters, particularly those of you newly married, decide, men, husbands, be a disciple. And sisters also, be a disciple. Put the Lord first. Luke chapter 19. Turn to that. And another word there. 57. Luke chapter 19 and verse 57. And he said to another. It says there, follow me. Follow me and I will. Luke chapter 19. And. Sorry. There's not 57. I missed that. Sorry, it's Luke 9. Yes, thank you. Luke chapter 9 and verse 57. It says, they were going along the road. Someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, listen to this. Permit me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. As for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Verse 61. Another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. First, Lord, I need to take care of my family first. Let my father die, then I'll follow you. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. first. No, my brothers and sisters, it's Jesus who comes first. If I'm a disciple, He must be first. Otherwise, I'm not fit for the kingdom of God. I'm looking back. If there's any first in your life and mine, I'm looking back. I put my hand to the plow and Jesus said, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. And so, to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first, and to put Jesus first. Everything else, my wife, my children, everything, my job, all this comes after that. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, we seek to do that. I am not preaching theory. I've sought to do it in the 43 years, and I thank God that this church has helped me in 38 years, which I never got, even as a full-time Christian worker. I can testify before God. I'm eternally grateful coming in contact with Brother Zach and coming in contact with other wonderful brothers here. It's helped me to be a disciple. You join this church, you will sign the commitment form. I want to ask you, are you a disciple? Or you're happy that the elders have accepted you? You can break bread. You're happy about that. You get all the benefits of the church. My dear brothers and sisters, I feel sad for you. You will have eternal regrets. And I say to you, brothers, take this exhortation seriously. Act like men. All you husbands, act like men. Don't be effeminate. You're not, it comes in that long list. 1 Corinthians 6:9. You know, where it says, effeminate together with adulterers and fornicators and all that will not enter the kingdom of God. I am to be a man. To be a man, I must be a disciple. I want to read to you. You know, I don't know if you remember, Brother Zach read it long back. It's a poem by Rudyard Kipling. I remember this in school. Some lovely words there. Rudyard Kipling had a very tough life, you know, very unhappy, largely tragic life. He says that he was starved of love and attention, sent away by his parents, beaten and abused by his foster mother. And he was a failure at public school. He was put in a boarding school. In later life, also, he had a tragedy. 2 of his children died. And in spite of all that, he achieved fame very quickly. And, you know, by the way, many of his poems were written in India. I don't know if you know that. I came to know that only looking it up. His first stories and poems written in India, you know, the one about the Jungle Book, that's why Rudyard Kipling and Kim and all these others, many of them were written in India, but he went through a lot of suffering. And later in life, he was, you know, they wanted to make him a knight. There were many awards he just turned down. Only at one time he accepted the Nobel laureate. But he wrote this poem. I think some of you will remember it. And I know we learnt it in school. It's called If. Listen to it. If. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting or being lied about, don't deal in lies. Or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good, nor talk too wise. That means you don't think too much of yourself. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster, and treat those two impostors just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by names to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to be broken and stoop and build them up with worn out tools. And there's another verse, I will leave it out for the sake of time, but the last verse says, if you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much, If you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, that you make use of your time, redeem the time, like it says. Yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son. That's a good word, brothers, for us to take heed, to be a man. Yeah, and some of the things there also, for sisters to take heed to, keep our head when all about you are losing theirs, blaming it on you. You don't need to become a man, sisters. You can be a woman, strong, like Deborah in the Bible. So, if we can take heed to these five exhortations, you know, I said the third one there is to act like men, and very quickly, you know, the fourth, it says there, be strong. Be strong. We read that also throughout the scriptures, all through the Old Testament, right through, be strong. Paul's exhortation to the Ephesian church, we heard last week so powerfully. And John says, I've written to you young men because you're strong. Young men, you have to be strong. Be a man and be strong. And all of us, young or old, John the Baptist was strong in spirit, we are told. Jesus grew strong, increasing in wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. And to become strong, we need to nourish ourselves with the Word of God. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, continually filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're not being baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're anemic, brother or sister. If you never sought the Lord to be immersed and baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are an anemic Christian. You won't survive. You know, physically, if you have anemia, what will happen? Be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit of God come upon you and change you, make you into another man, into another woman. And be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can be strong. We see that throughout Scripture, to be strong. Paul says to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And to be strong in grace, we know we have to be strong in humility. If I want to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, I must be strong in humbling myself. Quick to humble myself, I will be strong. I'll never be anemic. And the last, the fifth thing that he says, you know, as important or even more important, above all, like we read in another scripture, above all, let all you do be done in kindness and love. Let all you do be done in kindness and love. You say, that's not possible. I was saying on Wednesday, Paul says, I'll show you a still more excellent way. It's a way. It's a way that Jesus has opened up, that I can do all things in kindness and love. Don't say, no, it's not possible. Brother Ian, you don't know just what I have to go through in my home. You just don't know the kind of husband I have. You just don't know the kind of wife I have. You don't know the problems my children give me. Let all you do be done in kindness and love. You say, it's not possible according to your faith. Let it be. But I say, it's possible. I proved it, and I have learned and am still learning. A lot of things that I want to do in kindness and love, but praise God, I have found the way. And like I said on Wednesday, there are 7 zeros there. If you speak in tongues and you have knowledge of mysteries and you prophesy and you don't have love, you're a zero. 7 zeros. But there are 15 assets there. And it begins with love is patient. And it ends with love never fails. And then Paul says, pursue, run after this kind of love. Ephesians 4:1, it says, steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love. Listen to this, alert at noticing differences, quick at mending fences. Alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. Oh, what a life, my brothers and sisters. I don't have to wait for somebody else to mend the fence. My fence is broken down. I will mend it. If it's my compound wall, if the other neighbor doesn't want to build it up again, I'll build it up. Because I'm exposed to danger. quick at mending fences, alert at noticing differences, and whoever's fault it is, as they know, it's her fault, it's his fault, he should say sorry first, she should say sorry first. My brothers and sisters, I hope we're done with that. Let all that you do be done in kindness and love. So may God help us. I believe these are very difficult times that we are living in, and to take to heed these five exhortations the Holy Spirit gives us, be on the alert. And we have seen what we should be on the alert against, to stand firm in the faith, to act like men, brothers, be strong, all of us, let all that you do be done in kindness and love. May God help us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we bow before you because we see all that we have talked about true in your life. You have not just given us theories, you have lived this life on this earth for 33 and a half years. And we see in you all the embodiment of all that we have talked about, Lord, and all that you want to be true in our lives. And so we want to take heed to what your Holy Spirit is saying to us in these days. Help us not to be fools. Help us to be alert for spiritual danger. Help us, Lord Jesus, we pray. Pour out your Spirit upon us. We can't in our own strength, Lord, but we thank you that you've given us the power of the Holy Spirit. And so pour into our hearts continually, continually the love of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, that others will know that we are your disciples because we love one another. Dear Lord Jesus, make this true, that we become one with one another, with each other, even as you're one with the Father. Bless your word to our hearts and make it living and make it true in our lives, however long it takes. But we know it doesn't need to be a long time. Set our feet on this way, this excellent way. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
The Lord's calling us all to be alert, brothers and sisters. The mark of a soldier is alert. And in the church, all of us are to be soldiers. And we see a song. It says, rouse then, soldiers. Maybe the Lord wants to rouse us all. Say, don't be sleepy. You know, a soldier is not gullible. He's always alert, sensitive for danger. I believe the Lord wants us to be like that. Alert to the temptations, alert to danger, and be alert in the spirit, and be faithful to the Lord every day. We'll sing that song, rouse them soldiers. Sound the battle cry, see the foes nigh, raise the standard high for the Lord. May God help us all to be good soldiers, trained for battle, alert, and faithful in the battle.